Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
Everybody, and welcome to episode number 128 of Linux in the Ham Shack, and we are recording at a special time, so no one is listening live right now, because we have a special interview with a ham radio operator and an open source developer who happens to live in the Czech Republic and who has ordained to get up early so we can talk to him. And I, of course, have to be on late because it's about 10 past 10 here, Central Time in the United States, and it's 10 past 5 a.m. near Prague in the Czech Republic, where Peter Ložek, OK2CQR, is on the line with us. So good morning, Peter. How are you?
Good evening, Russ. I'm fine, and your pronunciation was very close, very nice.
Okay, well, I've only said it twice, so I'm glad it was close. That's I'm happy with that. And also on the call tonight, we have Cheryl. So, hello.
Hello.
We do not have a Pete tonight because Pete is in the Eastern time zone over in Montreal, Canada, and it's a little too late for him to be up. He has a curfew because he also has to be up at 5 a.m. It's just that his 5 a.m. is a little different than Peter's 5 a.m. I'm going to try and go back to the list of questions that I had. I don't know if you got a chance to look at those questions that I sent you in preparation. You were worried a little bit about your ability to, speak English well, but from all I've heard up till now, it sounds great, and I don't think any of our listeners will have a problem understanding you. No need to fear there. But I suppose we should start by letting people know who you are. We've mentioned you many times on our show over the past few years that we've done it because you do develop open source software for ham radio. In particular, two very popular software packages, one being CQRLog, which is one of the most popular native Linux applications for ham radio logging. And a newer project that you've started is HamQTH, which is an alternative call sign database lookup program to things like QRZ. So let's start with the basics. When did you get into ham radio as a technology, and why did you get into it? What attracted you to it? And if you would, maybe tell us a little bit about what operating ham radio is like in Eastern Europe, because I've never been there, and I have no idea how it might be different from somewhere else. And I'm not sure if you've been here or not, so I'm not sure you can contrast. But, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you got into it, and a little bit about operating in Europe.
I'm a 32 years old guy, have three children, and I started in ham radio when I was 11, and I got SWL number. My father was SWL at the time. And I started to listen on FM 2 meters band when I was 11, and then later I moved to HF bands and started to listen also foreign countries SSB only. I've been licensed since 1998 when I was 16. I love CW. I made only about 2000 QSO in SSB since 1998, and over 18,000 QSO on CW. I'm interested in ham radio thanks to my father, who is now Oscar Kilo 7 Whiskey Alpha. He is licensed since 2005.
So you got your license, you said, in 1998?
Yes.
1998 was actually after the advent of Linux, and since we're a show that talks about Linux and ham radio and their natural integration, were you aware of Linux and open source before ham radio, or afterwards or sort of at the same time?
No, I didn't know about Linux. I started using Linux at the high school. It was in 1999. It was, but I have a small distribution. It was about 5 floppy disks, I'm not sure. But I didn't use it every day. It was only for testing. I started to use Linux for every day in 2007 with Ubuntu 7.04. Yes, it was my first Linux distribution which works out of the box, and I didn't change anything, and it worked on my laptop.
That's great. Well, most people who try Linux for the first time don't have that kind of success right away. It's kind of nice. It probably helped you move into it faster, having that kind of success right up front. In what circumstance were you using Linux to begin with? You said it was in school, so was it for coursework, or was it just something they introduced in like a computer science class?
Yes, it was in computer science class, yes.
So when did you discover that you could use Linux for ham radio? Did someone introduce you to, you know, Linux applications for it, or did you come to that on your own?
In 2007, I tried the Ubuntu and it worked, but there wasn't any logging program for me. There was Xlog, but it didn't have features I need. So I decided to leave CQR. Maybe I should start with CQRLog. Was developed for since 2001 maybe, but it was only for Windows and only in Czech language. So in 2007 I closed developing a Windows version and started from scratch a Linux version.
So were you a programmer before that? Before you started doing the ham radio type stuff?
Yes, I was.
What kind of things did you do before you started doing things like CQRLog?
Only small utilities for printing QSL labels, and CQRLog was the biggest project.
Did you program stuff for things other than ham radio?
Only at work.
Okay, so your job involves... Are you a programmer by trade?
Yes, I am. I'm working on financial software and accounting software.
Okay, so you have a sort of natural affinity towards programming, which, you know, obviously helped you down the open source road. So do you have any particular reason that you developed open source software as opposed to something using .NET or, you know, some other proprietary system, or was it just easier?
It was easier, much easier. I can use everything what I found under GPL, and I can publish my source code, and without this anyone couldn't create packages or compile its own version, or it's much easier.
Do you have any particular love for the open source methodology, or is it just about the ease of doing the building and compiling and distribution? Or do you actually like enjoy the philosophy behind open source as well?
I like open source philosophy because I can study other source codes and learn from it. It's very good. It's very good.
You decided that you didn't have a logging program that was adequate for your needs, so you wrote your own, which eventually became an open source project called CQRLog, which we've talked about several times. You're actually up to, I think, revision 1.7.4, I think was the last one that came out.
Yes.
It's been in development for quite some time. I know you're the principal developer, but are you the only developer at this point?
Yes, I'm the only developer. I have, I had a few help from, I don't know what is the call sign, from Poland, who developed a support for the rotators and fixed a few bugs. But for now, I'm only developer. Martin, OK1RR, is working on DXCC tables or membership tables, and helps me with things around like website and sometimes support and so on.
CQR Log integrates with HamLive, is that correct?
Yes, it's correct.
Tell me about that. I haven't actually talked to anyone who's actually used HamLive as a library in the code that they're writing. Since you obviously know it pretty well, I mean, what do you think of the HamLive code? I mean, how easy is it to integrate into software for ham radio?
Actually, I don't use it as a library. I use utility rig CTRLD, or I'm not sure if the name is correct. I used to use the library as a library in CQR log, but there were many problems. But I think the problems are caused by I don't use C or C++ for CQR log developing. I use Object Pascal, Free Pascal, and that could be the problem why it didn't work for me. So Rick CTRLD, or what the name is, it's much better because it's around background, and I can talk with it thanks to UDP protocol or something, or TCP/IP, and I don't too care about changes in HamLib or whatever they do. It works. Also, CQR log doesn't depend on any HamLib version, specific version, or it works.
I have never heard of anyone who programs in Object Pascal, so you're the first for me. So I assume that is Object Pascal itself open source and freely available for people who want to develop using it?
Yes, it's open source. It's called Free Pascal, and they have also a graphic user interface programming. It's called Lazarus. It's something like if you know C++ Builder or something like that, or Qt Creator. It looks similar.
Okay, so Lazarus is the development environment, or is it actually a library for creating graphical interfaces using Free Pascal?
It's environment. Complete environment with a debugger and all stuff around.
That's cool. I don't know if anyone, you know, of our listeners would be interested in trying that out, but if they are, there's the information. I kind of want to go back to CQR log itself. So what were the things about Xlog and the lack of logging software that you put into CQR log? What were the things that were missing that you put in?
In that time, I think there was nothing. There wasn't the DXCC statistic, as I remember correctly, nothing. And even there were a problem when the log was big. I didn't have my log. I had about maybe 6,000 QSO, but I was thinking about the future. What happened when I will have about 50,000, because it's not so easy to switch between applications. I know that I can't use anything else than CQR log. I tried several times, but I can't. CQR log is like in my DNA, and I can't imagine to use something else. So Xlog was also DXCC, when you type a call sign or something, for example, KH6/OK2CQR/portable or W1AA/6 or something like that, the application should recognize that you are not at home and where are you. This is very important for me. For example, from station from Argentina, it's LU1AA/Z, means that he's on the southern part of Argentina, I think, and there are a lot of exceptions. So this was very important for me, and there were only one programmer which can recognize this. It was a IP log for Windows.
Speaking of logging specifically, clearly it's a decent application for regular communications, but how is it for contesting? Are you a contester? Does it have capability for contest logging?
No, it doesn't have capability to contest logging, and I spend only a few hours a year in contesting at home. I started to visit one special station which have capability to enjoy the contest much better than I at home, but they have wind test, so...
Well, that's fine. You know, it doesn't have to have every feature, and of course, it's obviously a very good general-purpose logger. How does it integrate with, like, QSL services, like EQSL, Logbook of the World, things like that? I mean, is it fully integrated with those services?
Yes, it's fully integrated. You can download and you can upload QSO to these services directly from the application, and they do, after the download you see the list of new stations, and it works with DXCC statistics of everything. Also, DX cluster spots are colored by if the user is using Logbook of the World or EQSL. It's marked with color and whatever. It works. It's integrated.
That's excellent. So, what logging formats does it support? I mean, I assume ADIF and Cabrillo. Anything else or?
CQR log doesn't support Cabrillo right now. It only works with ADIF.
Okay. Is Cabrillo support something you're looking at adding, or do you think it's not necessary?
I think it's not necessary, but maybe I'll add it because users want it.
Well, I mean, has anyone requested that it be added?
Yes.
Okay. Perhaps in the future. One question I like to ask of software developers when we have them online is if they could tell us one feature of CQR log that you find particularly useful that a general user might not even know is there. Is there like a great hidden feature in CQR log that no one might know about?
I don't know. maybe something if you are in a call sign input, you can enter the frequency directly in kilohertz. For example, 14.025, and hit enter, and the radio moved to that frequency and set the right mode. Maybe, I don't know if it's used by many users or not, but I use it every day when I'm online on the air. I can't imagine working without that. It's very cool for me. It's very hard to pick up one feature, because sometimes if a user wants something, I have to look at source code first, if it already exists or no, because there are so many features. I don't remember what all features CQR log has. Some of them I've never used. Users wanted it. It's there, but I never used it.
Speaking of all of these features, since even you aren't aware of all of the features that are in the software, where's the best place to find documentation about CQR log?
It's a help. When you hit not F1, F1 send CW, it's in a menu. It's there is a help and a help index, and you can find documentation there, or it's on CQRlog.com also.
Do you provide support at all? I mean, can people email you with questions? Do you have a forum someplace, or is the help basically everything there is?
Yes, people can email me directly, but I get a lot of emails every day. It may take some time to reply for me. But we have a support forum on CQRlog.com, which is quite active, so maybe it's better to put the question there, and there is a chance that someone else could explain the question much faster than me.
Okay, well, that's great. You have an inline help file in the application itself. You have online forums at cqrlog.com, and you also have a direct line to you if all else fails.
Yes.
That's
yes,
fantastic. That's right. So, like I said, we've talked on this show about CQRLog quite a bit, and I'm sure everyone is familiar with it at least a little bit. But one of your new projects, you know, we can talk about, we can move on from CQRLog, is hamqth.com. Now, I'm kind of curious why you decided to write an alternative to something like qrz.com or some of the other call sign lookup facilities. I happen to like hamqth.com quite a bit, and I even use it from a developer's perspective. I actually use the API. So I love it, but why did you decide to create it?
I decided to create it because when QRZ closed all data after login. CQRLog used the website. I downloaded the source of the profile of the call sign and used the address. It started with something. I don't know who, or Fred, or I don't know who develops the website, started to add some codes to... I wasn't able to use the data. So it started with some strange codes inside the address, and yes, I could get got over it, but after he, or I don't know who, hides the addresses, it was dead end. I didn't like it because yes, I understand he have to ads around the website, and I actually, after I visit the website in browser, I almost always click on the any of from the ads on the website to help him to get it online. But when he closed everything after the login, I decided to write my own callbook server because I didn't agree with this decision. And there was only way, write my own callbook.
Since you did decide to write your own, what is hamqth.com written in? Is it also Pascal, or did you actually go with a web technology?
I went to web technology, and it's PHP.
Ah, PHP, good, my favorite.
My too.
Okay, so it's written in PHP. Now, one thing I'm curious about personally is where you get the data from, and is it United States, like FCC call sign data, or is it worldwide?
It's FCC call sign data, which is updated every day. By small utility I wrote in Pascal. Everything what is working on the background is written in Pascal, and it's about maybe 1 month or so. I wrote another utility which downloads data from Canadian callbook and other data Czech Republic. Our, I don't know, national ham radio or organization, or I don't know how I could call it, publish also data. I use it. And after HamQTH went online, I got many call books from users. It was a lot of files in different formats, or some of them I couldn't use it. I wasn't able to select the name, call sign, and other data from the files, but most of them I finally imported to HamQTH, and thanks to them, it has so many call sign in the database.
I know that for those people who, for whatever reason, don't show up in the database, they can, of course, log in and add themselves. So you can have basically call signs from anywhere, not just the ones you're able to download from the various sources. And of course, it allows you to basically query all call sign information. But one thing I noticed is that I believe you can only query by call sign. QRZ.com allows you to search by name. Is that a feature that exists in hamqth.com, or are you looking at adding it perhaps?
Maybe I could add it, but right now it supports only query by call sign.
Okay. I actually find looking up a name In the call sign database, very handy. I do it rather frequently, actually. So, if there's a method for submitting a formal feature request, you can let me know what that is, because I would love to have that in HamQTH. If I did, I would never have to use QRZ again.
Okay. Okay. I make a note and I'll add it.
All right. Sounds good. So we know what inspired you to write HamQTH, and we know sort of what it is. It's basically just a call sign lookup. You have written a simple API. It's free for developers who want to use it. You just have to log in and request an API key. And then you can use call sign lookups from hamqth.com in your own applications, which I do. And that is a great feature. It's one of the things I love about it most. So I want to thank you personally for putting that in there, because it's great.
My pleasure.
If someone wants, help or has a question, or like me, wants to request a feature for hamqth.com, do you have forms for that as well on your website? Or, what's your method for support on hamqth?
There is a contact form. The link is on the bottom of the page. On every page, and user can contact me also directly by email, no problem. It may take some time to reply from me, but I try to always reply to any email I got.
Excellent. Well, while I'm thinking of something else to ask, Cheryl's been sitting quietly listening. She's not yet a ham radio operator, but I'm trying to get her into it. Do you have any questions for Peter, or are you just kind of letting this all go in one ear and out the other?
No, I'm actually listening. I'm not ignoring everybody.
Well, that's good. Has anything come up that's, struck you, like there's something you want to ask?
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
No.
Do you find this software interesting? I mean, have you even seen any of this? You should go to hamqth.com and look at it. It's interesting.
I think I've seen it maybe at Hamvention once. You were showing somebody.
Oh, I'm sure.
Maybe.
Probably. I show it to everybody.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure I've seen it. Maybe not, but.
Yeah. I asked you earlier about, whether or not you were the sole developer on CQR log, and you said more or less that you are. You've had some help over time with certain aspects of it. Are you the sole developer on hamqth.com as well?
Yes, I'm only one developer.
Do you also host it?
Yes, in my own server.
Okay. Do you have plans to, how is the capacity for, handling the requests that you get? I mean, is your server more than adequate for, what it's used for?
The server now, it's HP something server. It has 28 gigabytes of RAM and 2 terabytes in RAID 10 disks. So there are no limits. One day I had, no, me, the server had about 100,000 of query requests to call sign search, and it didn't notice it. I found it only in my statistics, but server was fine, so there are no limits, and I don't create any limits to anyone who use website or XML API or whatever.
Is that typical day, 100,000 queries a day?
No.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately not. The typical day is about maybe 40 or 50,000 queries or something like that.
Well, that's still quite a few queries. It means your software is out there and people know of it. And they're obviously using it.
Yes, it's very nice. I like it. It's very nice. But sometimes I'm quite sad, because many people only register to use APIs, I think, but they don't add any photos. And that's the main problem of MQTH. We have many registered users, many call signs database, but users don't add photos. And I usually hear from someone who started to use HamQTH. It's nice, but there are no pictures. That's the main problem.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've noticed on QRZ.com that there aren't all that many pictures there as well. I mean, of course, some people upload pictures. I have not uploaded a picture to either one, I don't think. And that's pure laziness on my part. But I don't know that, you know, that's a problem that's specific to HamQTH. I think a lot of the call sign lookup applications don't have associated photos.
Yes, it's right, but it would be nice to have also many visitors the website, because QRZ, I can't compare with QRZ. They have much more users and much more queries, and it's fine. HamQTH is online for 3 years. It will be 3 years in June. And it will take time to get so many users. And right now, there are about 40 or 45,000 visitors per month. And it would be nice to have more pictures, because my father also use HamQTH's first choice sometimes. And the problem is the same. HamQTH, the user is registered, okay, fine, but no pictures. I think that's my problem, because people look at HamQTH, the station is there, fine. Many info about it and prediction to the country, recent activity, fine, but no pictures. That's the main problem. I think it's a basic feature to show the station pictures. People like it. I understand. I like it as well. I look at the profile and I see pictures, the station antennas.
The pictures are apparently one of your favorite features, and you would like people to add them. I know you send out periodic updates about when you update hamqth.com, and I get those. You sent out one, I think, about a month ago that requested that people who use HamQTH upload photos, and we announced that on the show. And we have many listeners, but not on the order of the number of people who actually use HamQTH. So I hope a few of them actually decided to go and upload a picture. You know, we're trying to do what we can to help you out in that department. I'm not sure how to get the word out to the broader population to go upload pictures. But if they hear this, go upload a picture.
Thank you.
I know that your family is apparently waking up and probably demanding your attention, so we'll probably try and wrap this up. But if someone was really interested in your projects and wanted to get involved with them, whether like giving you a donation or submitting code or anything like that, are you open to that?
Yes, of course. Yes. My email is ready, and if you have any improvements, any ideas, go ahead and write me an email, and I'm interested in it, really.
OK2CQR.com is where you can find information about you and your projects. Are you working on anything else, or does CQR log and HamQTH and your like regular day job, does that take up all your time?
I started to work on a CQR test. It's my try to create something like N1 MM4 Linux, but it's a lot of work. It goes very slow, and there are some bugs in a Free Pascal compiler that are so serious I have to wait. Also, with a new version of CQR log, I have to wait until the package maintainers for Debian creates packages with new version, because there is a bug with transactions, and it's very bad for CQR log and CQR test. And I tried to use some different library for database, but there is no way. It will be so a lot of work, and I have to wait until they release new packages, and it's very bad for CQR right now, but I hope the packages will be available very soon, and I can start to work on it again.
One question I want to ask you about CQR test is, since you said you were trying to model it against the N1MM contest logger, which is for Windows, are you going to set it up ultimately so that it you can do, you can have multiple logging stations that are aware of each other. Will it be networked?
Yes, it will be in the future, but right now the development is, I'm working on the background, like support for several contests rules, and you could define your own rules, and these background routines I have to work first. It's completely modular, and it will work more likely in 60R way. They call it enter send message, or I'm not sure if it's the right description of the function which WinTest has, but this is the way it will work. It will be ready for SOTR, and it's on the beginning. I can run it, but it can't save any QSO, nothing. I'm working on the background because the background is very important. There are many contests with sometimes very, if I say it polite, very interesting rules. So the background is very, very interesting. Without a good background, I couldn't develop something which will be useful.
That sounds very interesting. I'm looking forward to some more development on CQR test, because if there is one thing that ham radio seems to lack right now is a decent, full-featured contest logger that is native to Linux. There are a few that will run in a Wine environment, and YFK test is a pretty good contest logger, but it's not graphical. It has limitations on screen dimensions and some features as well. So I'm looking forward. And every time we go to Hamvention, we always get asked about contest loggers, and we really don't have an option we can give for, like, this is a really good Linux contest logger, because there really just isn't one.
There is one. It's TLF. It's called TLF.
TLF.
Yes, it's TLF. It's actively developed by now, and it's console application like YFK test. But it supports many contests. It looks like an 60R for DOS operating system, and it's nice. It works also with Hemlib and CWDemon or WinKey from K1EL. And it's nice, but it's text mode only.
Oh, that's excellent. I think we may have mentioned TLF once many, many episodes ago, but we never really looked into it. So we will have to do that. I'm interested now because, like I said, up until you just mentioned that, we really didn't have an option. We would, you know, mention YFK test as an option, but not because it was a great option, just because it was really the only one. But we'll definitely look at TLF now and see how that compares. It'd be interesting to take a look at.
When I go to contest from my home QTH, I use it. TLF. I use TLF.
Excellent. So a little tip. So I think that's about all of the questions I have, unless Cheryl has decided that she has something she wants to ask.
I do not have any questions.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad you could be here anyway for moral support.
Okay.
Is there any information that I didn't ask you, anything you wanted to say, or anything you want to, you know, tell folks about before we let you get back to your regularly scheduled life?
I like your podcast. I don't know if the pronunciation is right. It's very good work. Thank you, Russ.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And we here actually appreciate your work quite a lot. I personally recommend both of your software packages rather frequently. And I think they're well developed, particularly HamQTH, which I really like. I don't use CQR log very much, but when I do use a logger, it's the one I use. I want to thank you on behalf of we as the hosts of the show and the people who listen and the people who are able to use a decent native Linux application like CQR log and the web app HamQTH. I hope you continue to work on those in the future. I know people enjoy and use the software. Thank you for that, and also thank you for being here and spending your very, very early Thursday morning with us. I think our listeners will really enjoy this this peek into your software.
Thank you very much, Razan, and it was my pleasure.
Oh, great. I'm glad we got to talk to you. I think I first asked you about an interview like a year ago, so it's taken a little while, but we finally got there.
Okay, no problem.
All right, I guess we'll send you on your way. Thank you very much, Peter. It's been a pleasure, and maybe we'll get to talk to you again when CQR test is ready for prime time.
Thank you very much, Ross, and have a nice evening.
Well, have a good morning and the rest of your Thursday. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Well, that was Peter Hložek from just northeast of Prague in the Czech Republic. The audio was a little bit rough there, but I think I can get some of the flat topping out of it with some post-processing, and hopefully I can clean it up enough to make it presentable. But either way, that was a fascinating look at hamqth.com and CQR log. And I, again, want to thank Peter for, one, being a listener of our show, and two, sort of keeping us in the loop on the two software packages that he develops. They're both excellent packages, and if you have not tried either one of them, you definitely should do that. I hope everyone enjoyed our interview with Peter. Cheryl's still here hanging out, so anything you want to say by way of goodbye before we head on out of here?
No, I think it's a definite goodbye, good night, etc. thing.
Yeah, it's probably time to pack it in. Let me go ahead and get my usual outro information, since I'm the one who is going to have to read it this time, unless you want to do it.
Sure, I guess.
Okay, well, you can do Pete's job, that's fine.
All right, great. We can
let everybody know how insignificant Pete is.
That's mean.
Okay, do you have it up in front of you so I can cue the music?
Yes, I do.
Well, Pete's going to hear this along with the rest of you when it gets released next week. So the information will only be about a week old, and that'll be much better than things have been of late. All right, I'm going to hit the little button, and then you can go ahead and start our outro information, and then we'll wrap this baby up. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right, here we go.
Please check out our website at lhspodcast.info. Become an ambassador. Visit the website for upcoming events and information on how you can represent Linux in the Ham Shack at a nearby LinuxCon or HamFest. You can email us at info@lhspodcast.info or leave a voicemail at 1-909-LHS-SHOW, which translates to 547-7469. All hate mail is routed to Harrison at hatemail@lhspodcast.info. Please subscribe to our mailing list. A link is on the website. Go to Cafe Press and Perfection and buy some of our show merchandise. Each purchase helps out the show. You can also help out the show by clicking on the sponsored ads in the right-hand column of the homepage. And if you're interested in the Cafe Press and Perfection information, it is cafepress.com/LHS podcast and printfection.com/LHS podcast. Listen live every other Tuesday at 8 p.m. Central Time or Wednesday at 0200 Zulu. Our recording schedule and countdown timer to the next episode is on the website. Thank you to all of our listeners, live and quasi-live.
All right. Well, that's that, I think. The episode is done, is terminated, and the outro music is playing. So thank you, Cheryl, for being here tonight, and thanks very much to Peter Hložek from out in the Czech Republic way for coming on and talking about himself and his Linux applications for ham radio. I found it fascinating, and I hope you do too. Join us again in a couple of weeks for episode number 129. The schedule is posted on the website, and you know we will be broadcasting live because we'll be back at our usual time. So take care, and we'll have Pete next time too, even though Cheryl did a pretty good job this time. So this is Russ, K5TUX, broadcasting live from between the peaks in the pine forest of north central Arkansas, and we will catch you all on the next episode. Goodbye.
Ickalickalicious.